Well, this is Pastor Woodson Moore coming to you from Fairton Christian Center in Fairton, New Jersey. And I am excited, as always, to be able to come and have a little part of your morning, a little part of your day. And I trust, and in fact, I prayed this morning for, I came. I said, Lord, help me. Help me to say something that's going to be anointed, that's going to be able to touch people's hearts and lives and strengthen them in their day. And that's my prayer. And this week we have looked at the book in the public schools of the state of New York. It's written in 1900 by Charles Skinner, who was at that time the state superintendent of schools for the state of New York. And there's a section in here entitled Home. This is what now the teachers were to stress and to teach to the children. And it has a poem. Home's not merely four square walls, though with pictures hung and gilded. Home is where affection calls, filled with shrines the heart hath builded. Home. Go watch the faithful dove sailing neath the heaven above us. Home is where there's one to love. Home is where there's one to love us. Home's not merely roof and room. It needs something to endear it. Home is where the heart can bloom, where there's some kind lip to cheer it. What is home with none to meet, none to welcome, none to greet us? Home is sweet, and only sweet, when there's one we love to meet us. Well, that's the ideal, isn't it? You have mom, you have dad, children come home, children grow up, children still come home. Now there's grandkids, then there's great-grandkids. Home, family. And then there's this little excerpt here says, a few Sundays ago, I stood on a hill in Washington. My heart thrilled as I looked on the towering marble of my country's capital. A few days later, I visited a country home, a modest, quiet house, sheltered by great trees and set in a circle of field and meadow, gracious with the promise of harvest, barns, and cribs well filled, and the old smokehouse odorous with treasure. The fragrance of pink and hollyhock mingling with the aroma of garden and orchard, and resonant with the hum of bees and poultry's busy clucking. Inside the house, thrift, comfort, and that cleanliness that is next to godliness, and the old clock that had held its steadfast pace amid the frolic of weddings and kept company with the watchers of the sick bed, had ticked the solemn requiem for the dead, and the well-worn Bible that thumbed by fingers long since stilled and blurred with tears of eyes long since closed, held the simple annals of the family and the heart and the conscience of the home. Outside stood the master, strong and wholesome and upright, wearing no man's collar, with no mortgage on his roof, and no lien on his ripening harvest, pitching his crops in his own wisdom and selling them in his own time in his chosen market, master of his lands and master of himself. Nearby stood his aged father, happy in the heart and home of his son. And as they started to the house, the old man's hands rested on the young man's shoulder, touching it with the knighthood of the fourth commandment, and laying there the unspeakable blessing of an honored and grateful father. And as they drew near the door, the old mother appeared, the sunset falling on her face, softening its wrinkles and its tenderness, lighting up her patient eyes, and the rich music of her heart trembling on her lips as in simple phrase she welcomed her husband and son to their home. Beyond was a good wife, happy amid her household cares, and the children, strong and sturdy, trooping down the lane with the lowing head, lowering, it's the cows lowing, herd. And the children, strong and sturdy, trooping down the lane with the lowing herd, or weary of some simple sport, seeking as truant birds do the quiet of the old home nest. And I saw the night descend on that home, and the stars swarmed in the bending skies, and the father, a simple man of God, gathered the family about him. That is a rendering of what life was like in this country before we decided we didn't need the Bible anymore, before we decided that we knew better and man was stronger than Almighty God. You know, it goes on and says, a simple man of God gathered the family about him, read from the Bible the old, old story of love and faith, and then closed the record of that simple day by calling down the benediction of God on the family and the home. How idyllic is that? That's what I remember as a kid growing up in the Midwest, where people were family. Divorce was almost unheard of. People had a family Bible and had in the front of it. In fact, I have my grandmama and my granddad's family Bibles, and it's got the genealogy of the family. We don't even have families to have a genealogy of today because we have abandoned what God called us to be. And this concludes with, as I gazed, the memory of the great capital faded from my brain, forgotten its treasure and its splendor, and I said, surely here in the homes of the people is lodged the Ark of the Covenant of my country. Here is its majesty and its strength. Here, the beginning of its power and the end of its responsibility. The home is the source of our national life. Back of the national capital and above it stands the home. Back of the president and above him stands the citizen. What the home is, this and nothing else will the capital be. What the citizen wills, this and nothing else will the president be. Henry W. Grady wrote that. What a great essay. And yet, I look at America today. I look at what's on television. I look at what's being pushed as music. You look at some of the TV channels that's out there that our young people are watching. And it just almost makes you want to weep, because you know that if our young people, if our marriages, if our homes are going to be built upon the basis of what they are being brainwashed to believe is true family, true love, true relationship, we're done. We're cooked. As a nation, it's over. The only glue that is still holding the United States of America together, and I believe keeping complete judgment away from this country, is the church, the Christians that love Jesus and are willing to do it. And that's why I want to challenge you as a Christian today. Pray for this nation. Make sure that you walk in holiness, like the song we played yesterday. Make sure that if you send your children to the public schools, ask them what's being taught. What are they learning? They'll trust you more than they will the public school if you'll take the time to educate them. Teach them the history of this nation, the true history of this nation. Take them to spots of historical reference. Show them whatever monuments that the new Taliban, who's going through this country pulling down all the statues and stuff, will have left. Take a stand for what is right. And there's still hope, because you're still here. But when you're gone, it's over. It's tribulation. Remember now. If you know Jesus, you'll know freedom, because Jesus is freedom.